This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're going to have one more testimony this week. If you had a chance to join us on Fire on the Earth this week, we've been bringing in some of our staff. I've been bringing in some of our team from Renewal Ministries, young and old, nobody quite as old as I am, but a whole range of our team members to just share the ways in which God has moved in their life and the way he wants to communicate his goodness and his mercy to all of us and just to testify to his goodness. And it's so encouraging just for me to hear. I've been hearing some things this week I didn't even know about some of our staff members. And so I asked Heather Schultz to come back today. We interviewed her yesterday, and she has, I think, more to share that could be really very encouraging about really trusting in the Lord in very, very difficult times. So welcome back, Heather.
Thank you for having me again, Peter.
Yeah. So we were talking about a story that a real challenge and you experienced with one of your children, your boy.
Yes, my son Luke. He's our middle child.
Yeah, so share that with us, would you?
When he was 2 years old, we moved into a new house. We had our older children, then also a seven-month-old, and I was getting in our full-size Chevy van to take the keys of our old house to the new owner. And I was pulling forward. My husband was standing on the passenger side of the car. And as I pulled forward, I ran him over. And it was, I actually felt like a guardian angel or something spoke to me in the moment because I felt a bump and I just felt like I instantly knew it was him, even though there was no reason to.
Because you couldn't see him or anything
No, we left them, all three of the kids. One was in the car with me and all the other three were in the house watching television. But in new houses, you have new traffic patterns and you need to be careful. I like to always tell people that. And so I grabbed my cell phone, which was right there, which was also an amazing thing, and gave it to my husband and I ran out and grabbed my son into my lap, and I just was screaming, like, Luke, I need you, I need you. I had shared yesterday that he was born with a bilateral cleft lip and palate, so we'd been through multiple surgeries with him, a lot of struggles, but we named him Luke in part because it means light, and we felt like he would be such a light in our lives, and he was, and such a blessing, and I just could not imagine not having him. And my husband saw, and I actually did run over his head. You could see marks on his head. Mm. So as I was holding him, though, and screaming, Luke, I need you, I felt the Lord just speak quietly, so quietly in my heart, like, do you really? And I was like, yes, of course I do. I need you, Luke. And then I felt him whisper again, do you really? And then I thought back on all the previous times the Lord had worked in my life in hard things, as I shared yesterday, like when our son had been born with his unexpected cleft lip, and the Lord was just very present and supported us through that time. When my best friend had passed away in high school, and God helped prepare me for that and helped just with his loving presence, helped me walk through such an impossible time. And so in my heart, I just replied, like, Lord, you have seen us through. You've seen me through really impossibly difficult things in the past, and I trust that you would do that again if you decide to take him. But please, please, if we can keep our son, that would be my preference.
Yeah.
You know, let us do that if we can. And so they actually med-flighted Luke to Mott's Children's Hospital at U of M, and a priest came and gave him his last rites with our families were there. And it was very beautiful. You know, he reminded us that if Luke had passed away at that time, he would be a saint because he was baptized. And it was beautiful, but it was so painful because I couldn't imagine my son surviving what he'd been through. But then as we sat by his side, little by little, there started to be these signs. And then suddenly, like, the Lord brought to my heart the verse from Jeremiah, for I know the plans I have in mind for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for woe, plans to give you a future and a hope. When you call me, when you go to pray to me, I will listen. And I just felt, when I heard that verse in my heart, I felt like, I think he's going to live. And I went out to where we had some friends and family in the waiting room, and I said something to a friend who has a very beautiful faith. And she was like, Heather, that was the verse from today. That had been the one of the readings. And so I just felt very encouraged. And he did have multiple broken bones. He had to learn how to walk again, but nothing had to be casted. And he only spent two nights in total at the hospital. So God was just so, so good. And he gave us such a great gift that I continue to thank him for.
Yeah. You know, sometimes when things like that happen, people can be very hard on themselves. Like, how could I have done this? And, and like not forgive, you know, that I caused this in your mind thinking. And that's where the enemy likes to get in to say, you know, you caused this suffering or something like that. Was that part of your battle or struggle at all? Or did the Lord?
It definitely was for both myself and my husband. Because I wasn't responsible for the vehicle. And my husband gave me a great grace afterwards. We were sitting on the sidewalk kind of in front of our house, and our son was in the ambulance being evaluated until the helicopter came. And my husband just turned to me and said, like, do not blame yourself for this. And the fact that that was, like, I think the first thing he said to me afterward was a great gift that the Lord brought that to his mind to kind of comfort me at first. But I still struggled with it. He did as well. And I think you just have to keep bringing it to the Lord. You just have to keep bringing it to him, bring things to confession, you know, just keep bringing it to God and know that ultimately, like, we're human and we can't be expected to be perfect. Like, nothing was intentional. But I think it is a constant process of healing and just seeking to bring God into it. I mentioned when we were speaking earlier, one other thing that happened that maybe is part of that is at one point I was walking, I dropped him off at a room for testing, and then I was walking through these empty hospital corridors, and I felt, and I still did not think at this point he would survive, and I felt like Mary spoke to my heart, nothing is wasted. And I just felt like it was an encouragement to just, if we can unite our hearts to the Lord, if we can invite him into these hard things, he can use it in ways that we don't fully understand. Maybe it's softening our own hearts, maybe it's softening the hearts of others. I'm not sure. You know, the Lord's ways are mysterious, but I know that it's encouraged me through everything I faced after that. Like, God doesn't bring suffering into our lives needlessly. Mm-hmm. We maybe can't understand the plan, but he is at work and he's doing something great, and we need to trust in that. So just always trying to open your heart to let him in and invite him to work in whatever way he wants to in any situation has been really important.
Yeah, and I like the way you said that in terms of that moment of suffering and pain. There's a real question. Are we going to come together or are we going to separate?
Right. And that verse, that verse from Jeremiah, like, I know the plans I have for you, plans for your welfare. I felt at the time too, like, this is a verse for Luke in this moment, but I think it's also a verse that God wants each of us to know. He intends for every single one of his people. Yeah. He has plans for our good. Mm-hmm. And even if it looks hard, that's not the full story. What we're seeing is not, we haven't seen the end of the book. We don't, you know, we're just seeing a piece, and we just have to trust in him.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there's the statistics are out there about when, you know, when a child dies in a family, oftentimes, you know, unexpectedly, the death of a child, oftentimes it's the couple separates after that, you know, over time, because you're carrying so much pain, you know, and sadness. And I think what you're describing is so critical. This is when faith really works in the sense of its power can be revealed to say, we're powerless in this moment. The saddest thing I can imagine sort of just happened, whatever, you know what I mean? And Jesus, I trust in you. And it's coming together and saying, you know, and Doug, it's so wonderful. He's like, don't blame yourself.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And to be careful about words. You know, he said the first thing the first thing he said to me after that, words are very powerful. And in moments like that, a lot of hurtful and difficult words can be said that can reinforce difficulties. And, but it's just like, okay, God, the Lord is here. We don't have to be afraid. And just listening and hearing the little whispers from the Lord gives great consolation. And you follow those and you articulate them. You know, it's to Doug and to others and to say, the Lord gave me this little sense and let's go with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is really important. And that's how he leads, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen. It's, in fact, you'd ask about our parish life. One thing in this new house that we had moved to is we're about, I don't know, 7 minutes from our church, and there is a Eucharistic Adoration Chapel there. And it's quite often that Jesus is exposed. But even if he's not, he's there in the tabernacle. So there were times that would be very difficult after this accident where I would just be like, I'm going to adoration. You know, you want to start getting, and I just go take myself before the Lord and I come back and it's like, you have a whole different heart that comes back to it. So
that's true, isn't it?
It's so powerful. And I had shared with you, that we had had some pregnancy losses. And in fact, that whole idea of going to Jesus in adoration was really powerful. We had lost Benedict at 21 weeks. And then right after I'd started at Renewal Ministries, we lost a daughter, Gianna, at 18 weeks. And during those times when we did lose our children, because the story about Luke I love to tell, and he lived, but in these other stories, we did lose our children, mm-hmm. but the Lord was still so present. He's mm-hmm. still there to comfort us. But in those moments, I didn't have words to pray. Like, the suffering was like so deep mm-hmm. that I would just open up, like I often pray with my Magnificat, and everything was just empty words on a page. I didn't know what to do. So I found myself, I would just go to adoration and just sit there. I was like, I can't bring you prayers, Lord, but I can take my body and I can like put it in the chapel in front of you mm-hmm. and then ask you to just work on me, whatever you can do to me. And I think slowly he did. He slowly brought mm-hmm. healing and strength back and the ability to pray again. And I think, so again, it's that inviting him in to the hard mm-hmm. things and knowing, like, just because I feel this emptiness, just because this is really hard, I don't stop. I just, how can I find him then? Well, I can mm-hmm. go to him and just trust that he'll work in my heart when I can't do any of it on my own. When mm-hmm. I have no strength, he can be stronger, you know?
Yeah.
He was probably doing more by me just showing up with nothing than when I show up and feel like I can bring all these great words or,
right,
you know?
Right. Yeah, yeah. Is there ways in which your older children then were brought into some of that as well?
And they would definitely come to adoration with mm-hmm. me sometimes when they're home or there or coming to church. And then I've just often talked to them. I try to be very open about how the Lord's working in my life, or maybe not the desolation or those hard parts as much, but letting them know, like, when we mm-hmm. turn to the Lord, he's there.
Yeah.
So just
yeah.
inviting them into that.
You know, you remind me, just sharing your stories the last couple of days, of Christian Smith, a sociologist for the University of Notre Dame, had done these kind of almost epic studies of tracking like 3,000 young people from the time they were like 13 to the time they were in their mid-20s, and the family they were in. Did they start with faith? And then what happened in high school? What happened in college? What happened post-college? What happened, you know, uh-huh. in their career? And who transitioned into married life, and they're starting to raise their own children, mm-hmm. you know, in the faith? And it's an amazing research that he'd done over all these years. But he said one of the things they found out, just like one of the most amazing data points ever, was those who made it all the way through and are raising their own kids, there were three things that they did as in the family they grew up in. Mom and dad were living the faith and bringing their kids to church, and it meant something, you know, to them, that was one thing. It was like non-negotiable, that mm-hmm. side of it. Number two, they were having family conversations, like age-specific conversations, them in life experience, where they brought Jesus into the conversation.
Yes.
You know? And then number three was doing some family missionary type things, you know, whether it was working at a soup kitchen or helping out here or helping out a sick neighbor or something like that. And these three little simple rhythms of life, he said, were by far the most powerful thing in their lives statistically.
That's amazing. You know?
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And it's encouraging because it's so doable.
It is very doable.
You know, you can say, gee, I got to study the whole, I got to memorize the catechism and gave it to my kid, you know, all that kind
of
stuff.
It makes me feel better because I'm like, I think unintentionally we
Yeah, were that happened. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because you're living with the Lord together mm-hmm. and the kids see it as integrated into a real life and answers to problems and encouragement and joys and sorrows and all the rest of that. So, mm-hmm. but anyway, Heather, it was wonderful for you to be with us again today. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, friends, and invite Jesus right into the heart of your marriage and your family and your extended family, and do what he calls you to do. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once, and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.